Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we like to start our time by being intentional with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to join with others as we link hearts and minds across the airwaves, to deepen in our connection and communion with the source of all that is God in us as us. In concluding our series on the deeper things of God today, as we dived deeper from the inspiration of our original text, which reminded us that it was the Spirit that searches all things, yes, the deeper things of God. And so we started to examine what were those deeper things of God that only the Spirit could reveal to us. Whilst we were all familiar with all of them, I think as we've dived down deeper, we've got an even more clearer understanding. We started by looking at love, the adoration of God, that God has for all of us. Each and every one of us without exception, whether we think we are lovable or unlovable. Followed by light, the light of God which illumines our consciousness so that we can have a deeper awareness and understanding. Followed by the Word of God, the wisdom that which creates. And today we are concluding with the grace of God. That which I believe as we allow in our lives transforms our lives. And I think it's very hard sometimes to shift away from the theological and even the dictionary definition of God, which is unmerited divine assistance, according to Webster, granted to humans for their regeneration and sanctification. People like to talk about grace as something that we are undeserving of, and that it's the opposite of karma, which is about getting what you deserve, your comeuppance. Whereas grace, is, according to theology, is about getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. You see, people like to think of grace as coming to us because we're unworthy. It's God's benevolence towards us who are undeserving. It's because God is so generous and God loves us so much that even though we are just so lowly, it's God's grace that comes to us. But this morning I would like us to shift that belief, to shift that limited and lowly understanding of what God's grace is and how it is we receive it. To do that, we need to look a bit deeper as to the metaphysical meaning, as we always like to do here on the Sunday Soul. You see, the grace of God is something that is a part of the law. When you read the Old Testament, you will constantly see the word the Lord, L-O-R-D, and the reference to the Lord is Jehovah. But if we were to exchange those words and replace it with the law, we start to see a different connotation about what it is. You see, we are all familiar with the law of cause and effect. I don't think there's anyone here that is unfamiliar with that terminology. The idea that we are formulating our experiences by the thoughts, the beliefs, the words that we hold. And we manifest as the effect according to the level of faith and where we are in consciousness. We manifest the effect or whatever those thoughts and beliefs and words were. But the truth is, whilst we are under that law, and it is only a part of the law, God's grace supersedes that. God's grace is beyond what we are able to think, believe, and speak for ourselves, for our lives, of our desires, our wants, and our needs. God's grace totally overrides that. You see, God's grace is beyond the idea of if we pray hard, if we believe hard, if we, whatever it is you want to think or speak for yourself, it's beyond all of that. It's a consciousness when we understand that God's grace is beyond cause and effect. It's that level of consciousness with which God works in and through. It doesn't mean we don't have to watch our thoughts or our words or our beliefs, or we don't pray anymore. But it's an acceptance that we do all of this. But also we can surrender and let go and trust God's grace, because God's grace is bigger, more than, and more comprehensive than anything we can conceive of. When we are able to move beyond that idea that we're only going to receive God's grace, maybe if we're worthy, even though we think we're not worthy. When we can move away from that limited theological concept of God's grace that comes to us unmerited. When we can move beyond that belief that we somehow, it's a whimsical thing where we get God's grace or not. We need to understand that God's grace is greater than the law of cause and effect. God's grace is far superior to anything we can conceive and believe. Yes, we continue to do that, but we do not allow the idea that God's grace somehow, maybe it might come to us if we're deserving. And I want us to look, I'm going to give several sacred texts this morning because I want us to look and understand the teaching that Jesus was so clearly demonstrating about God's grace. And I'm going to start off with the parable of the workers in the vineyard, Matthew 21:16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the one who was hired the last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So let's look at that metaphysically. So let's look at the householder, or the lord of the vineyard, as representing the law of our highest good, or the law of our being. Jehovah, or the Lord of the Old Testament, or the God of the indwelling Christ in the New Testament. The vineyard is our consciousness, and the life we are living, they are one. Now the laborers in the vineyard represents our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our prayers, which we go to work in consciousness to produce the fruit of the vineyard, the fruits of consciousness. The wages paid to the laborers represents the results that we get according to our thoughts, feelings, prayers, and words. And words and prayers are synonymous. In other words, the wages paid to the laborers represent the answer to our prayers. Now, the first group of laborers, they go to work making an agreement for a penny, a denarius. They were depending upon their agreement rather than their Lord's judgment as to what was right or what he was willing to give them. They did not trust that. Instead, they trusted their agreement, which was for a penny. They labored all day and got exactly what they had agreed to. There was no cheating. There was no turning away from the agreement. It was paid, but they were not satisfied. This represents the thoughts and feelings that these prayers which we utter and all we accept, which are depending on the law of cause and effect. In other words, when we're praying for something specific, because this is what we think we want, whether it's a husband, a car, a new job, or whatever you think, you might receive it but still not be satisfied. But when you make an agreement, when you surrender to God for what is your highest good, what is the thing that you require or you need in this situation, by all means you can dictate by whatever it is you think it was. But when you too, like the laborers, get exactly what it is and then you realize it isn't, then come back to the remembrance that the God in you, that is the knower of all things, the seer of all things, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. When you know that this grace of God supersedes the law of cause and effect, then you'll start to think differently, believe differently, pray differently. We know that when we can truly come to this understanding, this awareness, this belief, that God's grace is greater than the law of cause and effect, that God's desire for you is greater than any desire you may have for yourself. Another sacred text that I want to show you is from 2 Corinthians 12:9, which simply says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." When you are not driving, steering, directing, dictating how God should work for you, in that humility or weakness, God's power works best. God's grace supersedes the law of cause and effect. My final sacred text I want to share with you is from Ephesians 2:8, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." You see, the gift of God isn't dependent on us being worthy, or is not withheld from us from being unworthy. We do not merit it. We do not need to beg it. We simply need to understand and receive it. My poem that I want to share with you is very short. It is by J.J. Packer, and it says, "I am graven on the palms of his hands. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me. And there is no moment when his eyes is off me or his attention distracted from me. And no moment, therefore, when his care falters." That is the grace of God. That is the unlimited, free-flowing, unconditional grace of God. The quote that I shared yesterday from Thomas Adams is that grace comes into the soul as the morning sun into the world, first a dawning, then a light, and at last the sun in its full and excellent brightness. You see, that's a bit like our journey in understanding God. First, we understood just to pray and beg and cajole. Then we understood to affirm, to recognize our thoughts and beliefs and have them in alignment and trust the cause and effect, the law of cause and effect. And now we understand more fully that even beyond the law of cause and effect, even beyond the prayers, is God's grace that is able to do more than we can ask or think. So my story that I want, I try to edit it, but it's too beautiful, so I'm just going to share it. The job search solution, so good they can't ignore you. Getting to yes. The more I flipped through the titles on the shelves of the mall bookstore, the more depressed I got. When had I migrated to the self-help section? I'd come to the mall for an escape, a few moments not to think about the job I desperately needed, my dwindling bank account, my wife's medical expenses. But everywhere I looked, I was reminded of my troubles. I'd done everything I could, tried every way I could think of to get my name out there, sent out dozens of resumes, made follow-up calls, haunted the job placement office, nothing. There was no getting around it. I was in a bad way. The pressure weighed on me from the moment I woke in the morning until I went to bed at night. I was a loser, a failure. No book was going to change that. Weeks earlier, I was home with the flu when my boss called. For 18 years, I'd written computer programs used to manufacture wind turbines. It was delicate work, every part produced to exact specifications. That day, I needed to measure a 2,000-pound gear we were about to put into production. I had to be sure that the specs before I could do my programming. I had the part suspended on a hoist when I started to feel dizzy. Just needed to sit down for a second, I thought. I went to the break room without lowering the gear to the floor. That was a safety violation, and I made it just at the moment my boss walked in. "I'm writing you up," she said. "You're being ridiculous," I replied. My second mistake. Hours later, I was fired. "It will be okay," my wife Samantha said when I told her. "We just have to put it in God's hands." I shook my head and turned down the next aisle. I hated when she talked that way. I didn't believe in all that mumbled jumbo and answered prayers, divine intervention. Angels flittering about, I put my trust in things that were real, that I could see with my own eyes, and what I saw now wasn't pretty. Samantha was diabetic and couldn't work because of neuropathy in her hands and feet. Without insurance, her insulin would cost $1,000 a month. Because I'd been fired, I couldn't draw unemployment. Yet, she continued to put her faith in God. It felt like it was all on me, the worry, the guilt, landing a new position, figuring out how to cut our expenses. One thing for sure, hanging out in the bookstore wasn't doing anything for me. I turned towards the exit sign. "You need to get home and back to the computer," I told myself. Loser, failure, the words seemed to follow me right out of the store. I stepped out of the door and standing just feet away was a grizzled, older-looking man in jeans and a faded flannel shirt. He looked at me as if he knew me, but I didn't recognize him. Had he been in the bookstore? I tried to skirt past him when I heard a voice say, "Are you okay?" I turned and our eyes met. What was it that obvious? I was hurting that a complete stranger would ask about my welfare. Maybe he had noticed me in the self-help aisle. "Yeah," I said, "I'm fine." The man pointed a finger at me. "Remember this, God loves you." With that, he turned and walked away. I didn't know what to think. "Something kind of odd happened," I told Samantha when I got home. Of course she had an explanation. "It's a sign," she claimed. "Everything is going to work out." I didn't know about that, but I have to admit there was something about those words, something about the way the stranger said them. The conviction in his voice, the whole experience. Like I said, Samantha, it was odd. I couldn't get the incident out of my mind. There was something strangely comforting about it. With Samantha's encouragement and positive thinking, I continued my search. The strangest words played in the back of my mind. I had just been remembering the encounter when I got a call. A firm that made wind turbines wanted to interview me. The day of my appointment on Friday, I put on my best suit and kissed my wife. I was out the door when I stopped in turn and said, "Say a prayer for me." Samantha beamed. I was leaving nothing to chance. The interview was going great until the manager looked down at my resume. "Why did you leave your last job?" he asked. My heart pounded. I reviewed the answers I'd rehearsed on the drive over, looking for a change, wanting more of a challenge. I opened my mouth, and then I thought of Samantha, her trust in God. The faith she had in me. No, I couldn't lie. "Well, it's like this," I said. When I'd finished, the manager stared down at my resume. The room went deadly silent. Finally, he looked up. "I know what you're going through," he said. Almost the exact same thing happened to me. He got up, shook my hand, and showed me out. I guess that was the last I'd hear from him, but I felt like a winner for telling the truth. Somebody eventually would find value in that. First thing Monday morning, the firm's HR manager called. "When can you start?" she said. I almost threw the phone in the air. She went over the benefits, the company's health insurance, way better than my old job. Samantha wandered in and I mouthed, "I got it." I hung up, literally jumping for joy. "Do you really think God cares what happens to me?" I asked my wife. "I mean, I searched for the job. I sent my resume. It's not as if God sent the angel to..." Samantha widened her eyes. to the mall. It really had seemed like that man had been there just for me with the very words I needed to hear. An angel? I wasn't sure about that, but one thing I was certain, he'd been heaven sent. You see, God's grace isn't about whether we deserve or don't deserve. God's grace is available and there for us when we need it. My Science of Mind reading is entitled The Foundation for Your Day. The first quote comes from Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, The Voice Celestial. He comes in beauty and he comes in storm, but in them both the presence is revealed. To him who's attuned and he who loves will hear the voice of love. The author writes, there is often inspired by a concern for yourself or for others. Meditation is not thinking about yourself or the concern, but instead the contemplation of spirit, the divine activities and the nature of God. Because you are part of the wholeness of the infinite mind, it is possible for you to tune into the kingdom of God and receive direct revelation. This download of grace naturally fulfills the relevant and real areas of your human concerns. Throughout your day, perhaps it's go, go, go. Your thoughts are on this world from this moment you pop out of bed to the to-do list once to download the instant your feet hit the floor with the requirements of this world. However, you get to decide whether you start your day taking time for your divine connection or by jumping into the physical word of demands. To be a receiver of God's guidance, you must establish your ability to quiet the material senses during the activities of your day. You might as well start with the spirit in the morning before anything else establishes the foundation for your day. I believe that if we establish that God's sufficiency, God's grace is our sufficiency for our every need as the foundation for our day, perhaps we'll start to see things, experience things, feel things, realize things differently. As opposed to trying to think we have to make it all happen, we have to do it ourselves. To stand in that awareness, to affirm with absolute belief and faith that God's grace is our sufficiency for our every need. That God's grace is available, freely given, and freely it will be received if we are open and aligned with this truth. Our sacred text reminds us that God's grace is all that we need. So, my beloveds, as we conclude the deeper things of God, allow God's grace to transform your life as you allow God to love and adore you, as you allow God's light to illuminate you and guide you, as you allow God's wisdoms and words to create for you. Allow God's grace to transform every area and aspect for you. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within and honor our body temple. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. Let us be conscious that we are breathing in the breath of life as we take the next three deep breaths in. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. And take in that life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly, slowly. Inhale. Hold. For your third and final deep breath, inhale. Hold. Gently. Bring your attention into the cave of the heart, sanctuary of the soul, that life-giving organ that pumps the blood around your body. And as we inhale, affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention on your kidneys. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work that the kidneys do, eliminating the toxic waste and substances from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention to your liver, the largest organ in the body that detoxifies and cleans the blood and combats infection. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work it does. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in time. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Bring attention to your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the lungs do as it brings in the air from the outer realm and brings it in and passes the oxygen through your bloodstream. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring your attention to your stomach. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work that your stomach does, how it stores and mixes and breaks down food that you need for energy and nourishment. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Just take a moment to scan from the top of your head all the way down through your body. And let's acknowledge all the various systems within our body that works without us consciously giving direction. The respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the nervous, the cardiovascular, the skeletal, the circulatory, the integumentary, the reproductive, the digestive systems, all of these wonderful systems operating without us being conscious. Now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness, and my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. We know that the divine, the loved, that which is the absolute mystery, the creator and sustainer of all that is beyond time and space. There is nowhere where God is not. So as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, our divine beloved, we are so grateful as we have dived deeper into understanding the deeper things of your spirit. As the text reminded us when we began this journey, it is only the Spirit of God within us that reveals and makes us strong. So as we understand the deeper things of you, the love, the light, the wisdom, the words, the grace that fills our lives so completely. Truly get to understand that these things, these deeper things, transcend the laws of cause and effect, transcend our human way of thinking and believing and being in the world. Our teacher admonished that we were to seek first your kingdom. I believe that he was reminding us that we were to seek first your grace which is our sufficiency for every need, every want, every desire, every concern. Let us stand truly aligned and accepting that your grace is for our highest good. There is nothing that we need to do that will warrant us receiving more of your grace, or there is nothing that we have done or might do that will block us receiving your grace. Your grace is our sufficiency in all things. As we continue to understand that our words are creative, as we continue to trust and believe and grow in faith, let us trust, believe, and grow in faith in your grace. Mother, Father, God, as we have deepened and are deepening in the deeper things of your spirit, let them reside and resonate within us so that we can truly live, love, and express from this deeper connection, this deeper awareness, this deeper alignment with these deeper things of you. Let us not just apply it for some things and not others, but let's realize and recognize that your grace operates in every area of our lives. Mother, Father, God, we hold everything that is going on in our world at this time. We hold them in our hearts and ask that your grace that is above all things, that your grace bless our world and all its inhabitants. For there are not enough words to even express the needs of every individual hair on this planet. There's not enough words, or they're inadequate to truly express what we want for our world. But we know we want it to be just and fair, kinder, accepting, more loving, more peace-filled. So we surrender this to your grace and know that your grace will bless our world and all its inhabitants. As always, we are so grateful for your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy. So it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm, I am one with all that is. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that uplift and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open and firm. I'm grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me our science of mind affirmation. I remember to divinely connect throughout my day.
I remember to divinely connect throughout my day.
Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I'm at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. My friends, our rumination for this week. Rumi says, I know you're tired, but come, this is the way. In your light, I learn how to love. In your beauty, how to make poems. You dance inside my chest, where no one sees you, but sometimes I do, and that sight becomes this art. Before my closing benediction, just to remind you, on Thursday we will have our 10 at 10, our midweek prayer, our 10-minute top-up. And my closing benediction, Mother, Father, God, thank you for lifting us up in consciousness and freeing us from the limitations of the law of cause and effect, for touching our hearts that we may accept the gift of your grace that expresses us the power of divine love that heals and blesses. Remind us to surrender our every need, request, or desire to you, and trust that your divine grace will supply our every need in perfect and timely ways. My closing song this week is one of my favorites. It's entitled As I Am by Hill Street Young and Peter Cottontail. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Failures, all of my wrongs have been left at the cross.
Hill Street Young and Peter Cottontail as I am. Beloveds, I wish you a very happy bank holiday. I look forward to joining you on Thursday for our 10 and 10.